Deuteronomy chapter 6. And before we read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. The Heavenly Father, as we come to You this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that You've done for us. Father, You've been good to us so much better than we deserve. And Father, we pray that You would lead, guide, and direct in the message. Father, You know the need better than we do. And Father, You know the prayer requests that have been mentioned. You know each burden and each need. And Father, we pray that You would look down and bless as only You can. And Father, always give us the grace and strength to say, Thy will be done. Father, we ask for Your blessings, and we ask it all in the name of Jesus, for He is worthy. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 17, it says here, Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and His testimonies and His statutes, which He hath commanded thee. Just reading one verse here. And notice that diligence is involved. One of the things that we're dealing with in our day and time, and I know I'm not the only one that said this, I've actually heard several say this lately. But we've become very casual with the Lord's work and even our relationship with the Lord. And I'm not making any accusation here. I'm just saying in general, most Christians have gotten real casual with God. You know, I've even seen t-shirts before where they'll say, God's my bud, or God's my friend, or, you know, there's no reverence to Him. There's no respect to Him. And I'll say this, there's certainly no fear of Him. And that's a big problem. And even in a lot of church services, it's become more casual. It's become more common. It's become more earthly, sensual. And that's not what God desires. If you go through the Scriptures, and I'll remind people, I know we're in the New Testament church, but the Old Testament teaches us a lot about God. And I'll tell you this, He didn't just allow any kind of worship of Him. He didn't allow anything to be done. And He even got upset with Israel when they became kind of casual in their service. It became just a routine to them. Well, we're going to go to the house, we're going to do this thing, then we'll go back and just commit all the same sins we've been doing, and there's no repentance. We might even hear a message, we might even amen it and say that was good and wonderful, and then just ignore whatever God said. And we know that God doesn't put up with that well, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And what He didn't accept from Israel, He's certainly not going to accept from us. And even in Romans chapter 11, Paul, you know, tried to encourage the New Testament church there at Rome, that he tried to get across to them that, look, y'all don't need to be high-minded and say, well, we're under grace, you know, we're not under the law. He said, what you need to do is fear. He said, don't be high-minded, but fear. And he let them know if God didn't let the natural branches get away with something and we've been grafted in, he kind of let it know that God wasn't going to allow us to do the same things either. That we needed to fear, that we would not act in a way that would be displeasing unto the Lord, because we know that He rebukes and chastens those that He loves. And we know that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now I'm going to turn to the book of Proverbs and read some scriptures. And I know a lot of these things could go towards our daily work and our daily lives. But again, we're to diligently keep the commandments of the Lord. We're to diligently follow those doctrines that were once delivered unto the saints. We're to earnestly contend for the faith, as it's mentioned in the book of Jude. And so remembering those things, I want to put some things in context that it could be a blessing to us. He talks about in verse 4 of Proverbs chapter 10, and we'll turn to probably 5 or 6 verses that deal with the diligent here in the book of Proverbs. But do y'all think God was just concerned with poverty in these scriptures? Was He just concerned with a house not falling apart or a vineyard not falling apart? Or is there many spiritual lessons in all that God teaches? It's kind of like when Paul told Timothy in the New Testament, when he said, don't muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. He said, does God care for oxen? You know, he is getting it across. You know, y'all are reading that for the ox. And he says, y'all don't think that it has more of a meaning than just for the ox? There are many things in Scriptures that have more meaning than just what we read on the surface. And that's why it's important for us to dig into it. And if God is telling us to be diligent about our work or diligent about our land, how much more so in our relationship with Him and even thinking about the church and the work of God and how we conduct it? Does God want us just to be casual with it? Or does God want us to be diligent in it? And so keep that in mind as we read. It says in verse 4 of Proverbs 10, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." You think God just wants us to get rich in finances? No. That's not His priority. We see that many times in the New Testament. That's not His priority. Now, there are principles that if we would apply them scripturally, it could be a blessing to us naturally. It certainly can, but God is more concerned about the spiritual than the natural. But He's getting across the point here that we become poor, and think about being poor spiritually, that dealeth with a slack hand. If you don't think that your prayer life is important and you leave it off, it is not too long before your relationship with God becomes almost non-existent. You know, you don't talk to your spouse for a long time, that relationship can get cold. How much more your Heavenly Father? There's people that think, well, I'll just talk to God whenever I feel like it. No, you need to have some regular conversations with Him for your sake, more than anything. It's about you drawing close to the Lord. It's about you seeing your sin. It's about you repenting. It's about you being faithful. And it's not only in that. What about reading the Bible? You think about becoming poor. How does a church die? I tell you what, He talked about those that would be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We get lazy with the Word of God. I tell you what, we can fall for anything. We can believe anything. Sometimes we look at other churches that may used to be sound, and they used to be just sound in faith, they used to be faithful unto the Lord, and we see some of the things, and you're going, well, how in the world did they get there? I'll tell you how. They went by feelings and emotions instead of what thus saith the Word of God. And instead of being diligent in the Word of God, they became slack with it. And that slackness led to spiritual poverty in the church. People say, well, how does, you know, people in the church, they go to church all the time. How did they not know these things? I'll tell you how, they weren't taught. You know why a lot of things are not taught anymore out of the pulpit and even out of Sunday school classes and different things? Because people are not in their Bible. I'll never forget, I had a conversation with an older minister one time, and we were strangers. He wasn't even in our work, but I believed him to be a good man, a faithful man. After having a conversation with him, I had confidence not only in his salvation, but many of the things that he believed doctrinally. And I don't know how long we talked, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours, and we were talking. And he said, you don't know how refreshing this was to me. And I was thinking the same thing. I was like, this was one of those conversations you leave and spiritually you're just lifted up. I found somebody else that is faithful unto the Lord. And you know, that's a rejoicing thing. That's a blessing. But as an older man, I bet it meant something different to him. And yet he said, you know what? He said, most Christians I come across today, he said, their doctrine is a mile wide and an inch thick. And what he is saying is, they're on thin ice doctrinally. He said, they don't have much depth to them. It's what he was trying to get across. He said, oh, they can talk about a number of different subjects, but their understanding of it, he says, about an inch thick. He said, it's just limited. He said, but we've talked. And he said, in every doctrine we talked about, he said, I could tell that you thought about it. He said, you've meditated on it. You've dug into it. In which I was thinking, well, I could have said the same thing back to you. You could tell he just didn't read over scriptures and say what he read in some book somewhere and recited something he had heard from somebody else. He had spent time in prayer and in study, and it made a difference. And I'll tell you what, it's been a blessing to me over the years and even going to churches and different places, a lot of people, that's been a blessing to me. And I tell you what, when you find somebody that is truly digging into their Bible, and you can tell that they're not only talking to God in prayer, but they're allowing God to talk to him through their Word, and you hear how much they dug into the Word and how much it means to them, I'll tell you, it doesn't matter if it's a minister or just a regular church member. It is refreshing. It is refreshing to know that people are digging into their Bible. I've even had people that dig so deep, they come up and ask me a question. I said, look, I'm going to have to go and dig on that for a little bit before I give you an answer. I'm going to have to meditate a little bit more on that subject before I give you an answer. And that's refreshing to me. Because I'm like, well, I'm going to have to study. I'm going to have to dig in a little bit more on this subject. And people think that might be a burden to you. No, that's an encouragement. That's how you grow. That's how you're helped. But it's a blessing. But what happens if we don't read from God's Word, if we don't study it, if we don't meditate upon it? I'll tell you this, it's called the bread of life. We're called to feed off the Word of God. I don't know about y'all. Now, I can skip a meal. I can even skip a day without eating. I can skip a few days without eating. But for too long, that stomach begins to growl. And I'll tell you what, if I refuse to eat then, and I go on for a time, you know I can go without eating to the point that it causes things in my body to stop working. Malnutrition is a serious thing. You go without the vitamins, the nutrients that you need. And I'll say this also. It's also the living water. You go without that water. You can go a while without food. I think around 40 days is the maximum that people say you can go around. Maybe up to 49. But it's less than 2 months that you can go without some kind of nutrition getting in your body through food. Whether by vitamins, supplements, or real food, you've got to get that nutrients in you. But I'll tell you what, you talk about water, it's not going to take long for your body to start to deteriorate without water. This Word means something to God's people. And when we get casual with it, when we get common with it, when we get afraid to take care of it like we should, and even receive it like we should, it's damaging to us. If you think being lazy in life and not being diligent in our work, having a slack hand, makes us poor, think how much more spiritually it does to us. When we're slack with the Word of God, when we're slack in our relationship with God, we need these things, and without them we suffer. Let's turn over chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 24. Here it says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Say, preacher, what does that have to do with us being diligent with the Word of God? I tell you what, if we're not faithful with the Word of God, it makes us subject to false doctrine coming in. It makes for other things coming in that take place of the truth. It brings in a false doctrine, just as we saw in some of the churches where Paul talked about a false Christ, a different Christ being preached unto you. And yet he talked about the church being willing to receive it. Church at Galatia, he said, who hath bewitched you? Church at Corinth, he said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. He said, because I'm afraid that y'all might receive something that's not true. He had already seen it in other churches, and he was afraid that it might come in there. And trying to get across the point, y'all got to be diligent with this. Y'all got to be faithful with this. We think about even how the Scripture teaches us to put on the whole armor of God. Does a soldier just casually take care of his protection, his weapons? You know, as far as I understand from people I know that have been in the military, one of the things they teach you at basic training is how to take your weapon apart and clean it. And then put it back together again. You might have to do that in battle even. They want you to know it. You're not just casual with that. You want to know your weapon. You want to know how it works. They don't just say, here's a sword, go out and fight. They want you to train with that sword years ago, didn't they? They want you to get acquainted with it, familiar with it, know how to use it, know how to use it well. And with your armor, you don't want some kind of armor that's not good. Now, we don't have the breastplate and all these other things. We're not in knighthood like they used to be years ago. But I'll tell you this, a soldier goes out to battle, a police officer goes out on patrol, they're usually wearing a flak vest, aren't they? A bulletproof vest. You think they want to check to make sure that thing works? They want to make sure that it holds up and it's reliable. I guarantee you the spouse of the police officers want to know that it's well. The children do. And I'm sure the man wearing it does, or the woman wearing it. They want to make sure that it's going to do its job. When he talks about the breastplate of righteousness, he's not saying just casually put stuff on. He's saying make sure you're walking in the truth. Make sure you've got the helmet of salvation. Make sure that you've got those shods on. Make sure that you have the things that you need so that you can be a good soldier unto the Lord. To do that, you can't be casual with it. You must be diligent. And a lot of times with the things in the church, well, we just do that because of tradition. I tell people, you might want to study something before you call something a tradition. You might want to dig and see why the church has done it and see how long they've done it. And might want to look into the reasons why. There's a lot of things called tradition today and people don't understand them. We got a lot of sins that we're fighting today, and there's a lot of saved people that don't even know where those sins began, and it began with God's people starting to fade away from the Lord. And see, until we get to the place we're willing to admit that and repent of it, I don't know how much is going to be changed in this world. Because we want to blame the world and we want to blame politics and we want to blame a whole lot of things. But there was a whole lot of liberalism that crept into the churches before anything else. You know, we make fun of people saying, well, I feel like I'm a dog or I feel like I'm a girl when I'm a boy or boy when I'm a girl and all this other stuff. And we'll make fun of it. I'll tell you what, how many people started this in church years ago? Well, I feel like we need to do things this way. I feel like we need to do things that way. I don't feel convicted about this. I don't feel bothered about this. I know that church has always done that, but we don't have to anymore. I tell you what, there's a whole lot on feelings today that's come into the church. And until we go back and repent of that, we're going to have problems. We need to be more diligent with the things of God. There is a reason for every word in the Word of God. There is a reason for every teaching and every doctrine and everything He's given us. And if we're not prudent with it, if we're not diligent with it, all of a sudden we'll say, well, that's not that big of a deal. And you know what we've allowed? We've allowed a chink in our armor. We've allowed our sword to become unsharp. We've allowed our aim to become untrue. And horrible, and even as Peter talked about, damnable heresies come in. There's a whole lot of people that don't think hardly anything's a damnable heresy anymore. But I'll tell you what, Peter was trying to be diligent with it, wasn't he? Y'all need to hold to this. Y'all need to make sure that you are walking in these ways of God. And even within that, he brought up false prophets, false teachers. People today, they'll say, how can people fall for all these false teachers? I'll tell you how. they have not been diligent with the doctrines of the Lord. The church crept away. And instead of being diligent about keeping things in order and in place, and diligently keeping those commandments of God, they said, you know, this one's not that important, that one's not that important. And before too long, Satan had a seat right in the church house. And sometimes he was even standing in the pulpit and preaching what he wanted people to hear instead of what God wanted them to hear. It says in verse 27 of this same chapter, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. Here's another place that we've lacked diligence. Y'all remember how God called the men on the shores of Galilee, Peter and them, and he said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You know, I'm amazed at how much attention people pay to fishing. I'm amazed at it. Amazed at how much money people spend on it. My wife thinks I've spent some money on fishing over the years, and I'm going, oh, my budget's very low compared to nearly any other fisherman. I've even got some 202 reels. I mean, I don't have anything fancy. Y'all know there's reels that sell for $200, $300, $400. That's just the reels. Don't let me get into some of the lures and some of the gear that people buy. And my goodness, you start looking at the boats. Look, you can go to some of these places that sell boats and a brand new boat. $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 to go fishing. And look, I got nothing wrong going fishing. I enjoy going fishing. I look forward to it. And look, you got plenty of money. If you want to pay that for a boat, that's your business. But I tell you, people will study, they'll read books, they'll read magazines. They'll say, how can I catch a bigger fish? How can I catch more fish? They'll study moon phases. They'll study all kinds of things. And again, I'm not saying that if you're not going to do something, not be diligent in doing it. But it's amazing how much people will invest for a fish. But God called us to be fishers of men. I'll say this, we're not just going to casually point people to Christ. That's diligent work, isn't it? I've got to be looking for somebody to share the gospel with. I've got to be looking for opportunities. I've got to be looking for ways in my life that I think could reflect Christ more so that I could be a blessing to some lost soul. And he that winneth souls is wise, according to Scripture. There are some people who think, well, we can just casually serve God. We can casually, maybe occasionally mention something to somebody, but we need to have a diligence about it. You know, the work that God has given us to go out into the world and to share the gospel, there's a diligence with it. And I think more so in our day and time, because you might talk to 100 people before you get one to even come through the doors of the church to visit. And I know that gets heartaching. It gets frustrating even. But we can't quit, because that's what God called us to do, is go into the world and share the gospel. And even things like compel them to come in. Well, if I'm compelling somebody that they need the Lord, that's not a casual thing, is it? That's something that takes diligence. I'll say this, there's people I've been working with over the years trying to get them to turn and trust in Christ or trying to go to church. I'll tell you what, there's diligence in prayer. There's diligence in conversations. There's diligence in patience, forgiveness. There's all kinds of things that are involved. But it's not a casual thing. It's something that's diligent. And sometimes we can sit back and say, well, we don't have anything. And look, I'm not a numbers guy by any stretch of the imagination. I've never preached numbers, don't believe in it. I believe this. Noah, he preached for 100 years plus, and only 8 souls, and it was out of his own family that got on the ark. I'm never going to be a numbers guy preaching numbers. But I do want us all to look within ourselves and say, am I being diligent in the work of God? Am I looking for opportunities to serve you? Am I looking for ways that I can share you with my family, my loved ones, my neighbors, acquaintances? Am I diligent in it? And that's a question we all have to ask. It's a question I have to ask. But I'll say this, to see a soul turning trust in Christ, it can't just be, well, maybe they'll stumble and fall and happen to find Jesus. Maybe they'll stumble and trip up and happen to come into the church. That's not how we need to be. We need to have a burden that we're looking for opportunities to invite people to church, to tell them about what Christ has done for us. It's something that's diligent about us. I like what a man told me one time. You know, somebody made fun of him in hunting. And I've been made fun of in hunting before. People say, oh man, you go out there and you freeze. You go out there and, or, you know, in the when it's warmer weather, you sweat. And you go out there and you see nothing. You waste all that time and waste all that energy. And then when you actually do kill something, well, how did you kill something? And sometimes, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck in any way, but sometimes you almost have to be. I'll tell you this. He didn't walk by me while I was sitting on the couch. That's one thing I found out. I cannot kill a deer sitting on my couch. I have to actually go out there and do the work. And if I do that for a deer, or if I have to go out to the lake to catch a fish, I have to go out to find a soul that needs Jesus. I have to be willing to go. I have to be willing to search. I have to be willing to find. You know, over in Luke 15, he talked about the woman that lost her coin. The man that lost his sheep. What did they do? The woman diligently searched for it. The man diligently searched for that one lost sheep and had people rejoice with him. And the lesson was that we're to look for the lost sheep. Is that not what God has called us to do? But we must be diligent. We must be faithful. We must not quit. We must not faint. You know what's something about diligence also? When you think about being diligent in work and diligent in hunting or diligent in any other thing that you do. A lot of times it means I do the same thing over and over again. That's what it means. I think about this. When I've gone fishing, how many casts has it taken me to catch a fish? I've literally fished for 12 hours straight before. I've done it from 7 to 7 before, trying to catch fish. And you know what happens sometimes? I've done this. I have fished all day and caught nothing. Peter knows that experience, doesn't he? We have toiled all night, and yet we've caught nothing. And you know, I've actually made that statement while I've been fishing with other people before. I said, I guess I got to cast the net on the other side. You know, I'll cast to the other side, sometimes even in a place where I don't think fish are. But I say, if they haven't been where I think they are, I need to start casting where I don't think they are. Because what I've been doing's not been working. But you know what I do have to do? I still have to cast, and I have to reel. It is the same process I've been doing. And sometimes when you've done that 4 or 5 hours and you've caught nothing, there's a lot of people ready to quit and go home. But I know that that way to actually catch fish is not going home, but it's doing the same thing I've been doing, maybe with a little different motion, maybe presenting a different lure, whatever it might be, but it's with the same persistence, it's with the same action I've been doing. Do you know preaching Christ a lot of times will be rejected by the world time and time and time again? One of my favorite things to read about in the Scripture, you find it in the book of Acts, I believe mentioned more than one time. But it talks about they went to this location or that location, they'd preach the gospel. Sometimes it's Paul, sometimes it's Peter or John. And they'd say, you know, many rebelled, many refused, many rejected. And there's something that follows that. But some believed. I love that. But do you know what they had to do to see the some that believed? They had to see many walk away. They had to see many rejected. They had to be made fun of, mocked, sometimes even beaten, and thrown into prison. But was it worth it to see some that believed? And let me ask you this question. Did they ever preach a different gospel? They didn't change the gospel up one bit, did they? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And sometimes we say, well, I've said that to 100 people. I've said that to 1,000 people. But when one turns and believes it, it makes all the difference. You know, sometimes we get tired of doing the same thing over and over again. But you know what? I haven't found a way to clean my house except get a broom out or a vacuum out. And you know what happens after I clean it? Or after my wife cleans it or whoever does it? Guess what? It's going to get dirty again. You know what we have to do to make it look good again? The same thing we did before. Sweep, dust, mop, whatever. My truck gets dirty from time to time. You know what I have to do to get it clean? Same thing I've done before. Now, I can go pay somebody else to wash it. I can go through a quick wash, which doesn't always get everything you want. But if I want to get it good and clean, I'm going to have to get out there with a hand rag or some kind of brush scrubber. And I'm going to have to get the same soap I've used before. I'm going to have to use the same water. I'm going to have to get the same suds and go through the same motion, same way with keeping my yard up. You know, every 2 or 3 weeks now, I've got to mow it. For some people, you know, they've got grass that grows so fast, they've got to mow it every week to make it look like they want it. And a lot of times, there's Christians that think, well, we got to do something different. No, you don't. You just need to be diligent with what God has called you to do. You just need to be faithful. You know that farmer? He does a lot of the same work every day, doesn't he? That rancher does some of the same work every day. But I could say that for doctors. They're going to come across sick patients. A lot of times having the same illness, aren't they? A dentist, he's going to see teeth. I think my family's got some dentist appointments this week. You know they're going to clean them the exact same way they cleaned them last time. But that's the way you clean them. Sometimes diligence is doing it over and over again. You know what I need to do tonight before I go to bed? I need to humble myself and talk to my God. You know what I need to do to be ready to preach come Sunday? I need to read over this Bible. I need to go through the Scriptures. I need to seek the Lord for direction in what He wants preached. But I'm going to do the same thing that I do every week. He might give me a different message, a different subject to teach on or preach on. But it's from the same Word of God. It's the same truth that I have no authority to change. And through the foolishness of preaching, God will save those that will believe. And I've got to be diligent in it. We need to be diligent with the work of God, not casual with it. We need to be diligent in our prayer life, our study life, our concern for lost souls. I pray that we don't get casual with it, because the key to success in the work of God is diligently keeping His commandments, diligently holding to His Word, diligently holding to those doctrines that was once delivered unto the saints. And you know what He tells us to do? He tells us to be diligent or faithful unto the end. That's what He's told us to do, isn't it? Be faithful to the end. I want to encourage us that we be diligent and not slothful. It's easy to become slothful. It's easy to become casual. It's easy to get in routines. But I pray that we desire to have a close relationship with the Lord. I pray that we desire to faithfully follow Him. And I pray that we have a burden for lost souls. That we don't just say we'd like somebody to be saved, but we'd say, Lord, could You use me to point somebody to Your Son? Could You use me to invite somebody to church? And that we'd be diligent in that business too. Let's be diligent with the things of God. I'll tell you what, God's not casual in what He's done for us. Before the foundation of the world, it was prepared that Jesus would come and die for our sins. Can y'all imagine all the diligent work that God did? Probably more than I could ever imagine. I've thought about this so many times, and I've read even other people's statements about it. But they said, you know, God nourished up the tree that one day would be used for His Son to hang upon. The diligence in that. The faithfulness in it. Do you know He prepared people to be in certain places that it would accomplish the Lord's will? He knew who would be the high priest. He knew who those Jewish rulers would be. Do you know how many blessings and good days they had to see? And God knew the whole time the people that would slap His Son on the back of the head, who would place the thorns on Him, who would pierce Him in His side, who would spit upon Him. And God was diligent to let them live, to let them grow, to let them eat meals, to even prosper in some ways in this world, and even allowed them to do what they did. And then Jesus was diligent in saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There was a whole lot in there, more than we can imagine. More than we can imagine. God's been diligent. Let's follow the example that He has given us. This is the burden God has given us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, we invite you to come. I have a verse of a song.